prepare to read the scriptures today, we'll be in John chapter 16. Last Sunday, we celebrated the day of Pentecost and the arrival of the Holy Spirit, all the difference that that made for the early church, the amazing miracle that it was for explaining to new people who Jesus is. Even though there are barriers sometimes, the Holy Spirit is there to help us as we speak, that people will hear it and understand it in a way that makes sense to them, that they can trust in Him. But there's so much more that the Holy Spirit does for us. John chapter 14 and 16 delve very deeply into this as Jesus is teaching His disciples about what the Holy Spirit will do. And so today we're going to look at John 16, verses 12 through 15. So let's stand in honor of God's word. And these are the words of Jesus. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. This is God's word. You can be seated. So in this passage, we have all three members of what we call the Trinity, the three in one. So let's say that together, three in one, right? So we worship and serve one God, and yet we are complicated people. And so, in a sense, God has to be complicated too in order to address all that's going on in our lives and the mess that we made of this world. And so we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that make up all of what God is. Now, we don't have three gods, right? So just get that clear in your mind. We don't have two and a half gods. We don't have two and a half members of the Trinity. The Trinity is God. And Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are all required in order to make up all that God is. So the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are all to be thought of and addressed as God. I don't have time to unpack every single passage that makes that clear, but I've shared with you before. I had my doubts when I was in college. I had a professor who was very indulgent, who allowed me to search this out and write a whole series of papers on it. And in the end, because of passages like this and others, there's nothing left but the Trinity in order to try to explain all that is said about God throughout the scriptures. So it's not a doctrine that men have made up. It is the nature of who God is as revealed to us through the scriptures. Now, it's not some simple and airtight explanation about God. But I think the biggest reason for that is so that we'll never just think we've got God nailed, right? That we'll never think that we understand everything about God and that God just fits nicely on a book on our shelves. God is bigger than we are. There is great mystery in who God is. And yet everything that we need to know for life and godliness has been revealed to us about God. Amen? It's been revealed to us through the scriptures, through the general revelation of creation as you look around and see God's handiwork, and most specifically through Jesus, the Son of God, who arrived on earth as a human being and who displayed for us God more clearly than anyone else could. And yet now, as He is coming to the end of His time on earth, He's telling His disciples about one who's going to come, the Holy Spirit, and how, as good as it's been to this point, the Holy Spirit will take them to the next level. So the Holy Spirit is there. Now, oftentimes the Holy Spirit is thought of as just like Casper the friendly ghost, right? Just sort of this fluttery being out there that doesn't have any real essence. Or just like a messenger boy. Or just maybe a lot of people talk about the Holy Spirit as just the way we feel God. And some people think, well, when God's on in heaven, that's the Father. When God was walking on earth, that's the Son. And now we feel God through the Holy Spirit. No, that's called modalism. I don't have time to go into all the different ways we can misunderstand who God is. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are functioning all the time. They're separate, and yet they are one. That's about all we have time for this morning, but the Holy Spirit has a role, and it's a powerful and important role, and it's not a secondary role, and it's important for us to understand that. The Holy Spirit is not less than the Son, but the Holy Spirit has humbled himself in terms of his role in communicating with us so that he shares what Jesus has shared with him. And Jesus has humbled himself to the Father so that he and the Father are one, and the Father is the one who is willing things, and Jesus is carrying them out, and the Holy Spirit is connecting those things to us. But there's more to the Holy Spirit than this, but this is largely how we experience the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit becomes a way that we are connecting with all that God is and being filled with God's power and God's love. So what a special and amazing ministry the Holy Spirit has. But here's the important aspect that today's passage is kind of honing in on, and that is the Holy Spirit as the Spirit of truth. So let's say that together. The Spirit of truth. We all have a hunger and a desire to know things, right? Anyone who's had a little child in their home, right? What's the question you hear all the time? Why, right? Why? Well, here's the thing. Well, why that? Then why that? And why this? So there's always more that we want to know from even when we are very, very small. Because we have a hunch. If we could know just a little bit more, then we'd understand life a little bit better and our role and our place in it. One time I was driving along and I had my little nephew in the car. I was an older teenager and he was maybe 4 or 5 years old. And as we were driving along, he just out of the blue said, "Uncle Tim, why does Jesus know everything?" He wasn't asking me, does Jesus know everything? He was asking me, why does Jesus know everything? And that blew my mind. I said, you know what? I said, I don't know why Jesus knows everything, but isn't it great that he does know everything? That was enough for him in that moment. We can trust it. There are questions that we want to know that we may not get the answers to. But what Jesus is promising here is that the Holy Spirit will lead us into the truth. The things that Jesus wants us to know. Amen? The things that we need to know in order to be his faithful people in the world. The Holy Spirit doesn't exist just to be an encyclopedia of our curiosities. Because the things that we need to know have to do with the things that God wants us to do. And the things that he has in mind for us to be. And so the messages that we get from him sometimes may surpass the things we are looking for. When we were far from God and not interested in him at all, we may have felt convicted about sin and felt guilty and wanted to be forgiven and restored. And we may have come looking for a little fire insurance, right? We heard that hell was a bad place. And we didn't want to go there, and we'd sure like to make sure that there was a way out of avoiding that ultimate destiny. So we come to Jesus, and we're seeking what he could do for us there. But of course, Jesus didn't just die on the cross and be raised again from the grave just so we could avoid hell. Jesus went through all that so we could experience the fullness of salvation. Jesus went through all that so he could make all things new. Amen? So that he could make a whole new world and he could inaugurate a whole new kingdom where God is worshiped and served in the way that he is due, and where love and peace and joy and, yes, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is shared throughout the world. God wants a just world. God wants a fair world. He wants things to be set right. So the Spirit of Truth is there to teach us the things we don't know yet, but we need to know, right? Remember that scene from that movie, I Want to Know the Truth? And then the guy says, you can't handle the truth, right? Well, that's kind of what Jesus is saying here. Look, you can't handle everything that you think you want to know at this time. To a certain extent, you just can't take it all in, right? Ever been to one of these conferences or some type of work training thing, and you're sitting there, and all these speakers are talking a mile a minute with all these slides, and you're trying to take notes, but there's just only so much you can take in, right? So realistically, you have to go there looking for one, two, three good ideas that you can take with you. Well, God knows the pace at which we can learn and receive the things that we need to understand. And so he sets a pace that we can keep. And he shares with us what we need to know when we need to know it. And so, you see, in this way, the Holy Spirit is contributing to our growth in grace. And that's what we want to do. God loves you. God has forgiven you in Jesus. And God has a purpose for your life. And he wants you to fulfill all of that potential. Whether you're 7 weeks old or 7 decades old or more, the Lord wants you to grow into all that he has for you. Amen? It's not just something we do when we're young. It's not something we wait to do until we're old. We want to be growing in grace all the time. There's always more truth. There's always more for us to learn. There's always more ways that we could reflect God's character and God's love in the world. And the Holy Spirit is a key part of that process, teaching us those things that we need to know. So how do you access the Spirit of Truth, right? How do you get to these things that the Holy Spirit wants to teach you? Well, Jesus was saying a lot of things when he was here on earth. People listened carefully and people wrote those things down. And now we have the New Testament, amen? And we also have the Old Testament. And most people had some sort of access to the Bible at the time that Jesus was speaking. In terms of the Old Testament, they could at least go and see it and hear it being read from on a regular basis. But now we have all these words, all of this careful teaching from the early time of the church. And so we can read it. And as we read it, the Holy Spirit can enable us to understand it. Amen? Some things are difficult to understand. Some of it's the way that it's written and the time period in which it was written. Some of it is just our lack of life experience, and so we can't quite understand it yet. But the more we live, the more we grow, the more we can know. But we need to be in the Scriptures and reading if we're going to hear from the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Spirit will highlight those things. If we've read the Scriptures, if we've studied the Scriptures, if we've tried to hide them in our hearts, then also the Holy Spirit can remind us of those things, right? The first time we hear it, we may have been nodding off in church. We may have been a little bit distracted when we read it early in the morning on our way to somewhere else. But if we read it, if we studied it, if we took aim for it, then the Holy Spirit can bring it up later and make it clear to us what this means. And don't ever think, oh, I've read that passage before. I know what that means. I don't need to read that. Because that's just not true. As you get older, as you grow in grace, as you return to God's word and read a passage again, you may suddenly, finally understand it the way God intended it and on such a deeper level than you ever did before. And that's what's wonderful about God's word. So try to keep that hunger for it. Try to be that kid who wants to know why, who wants to know more, searching, digging deeply into the scriptures. The Holy Spirit will lead and guide you as you do that. But also pray. Take time to pray each day, to pour out your concerns and your burdens to God, but also to listen for God's leading. And you know, the Holy Spirit will convict you about things that you need to be concerned about. But that's different than the condemnation that the enemy of our souls will try to bring. Or sometimes in the back of our mind, we struggle to have good and positive thoughts. And so we may struggle all the time to know and to trust that God loves us and is for us and that we're in right relationship with Him. So we might need to have some help to discern and figure that stuff out. But when God is trying to get your attention, He will show you, He will guide you, and it'll be in a loving and gentle way to lead you toward the truth. Only when you're intentionally going against what you know God wants you to do, only then does the conviction get a little heavier, right? Until it's clear, no, don't go this way. And then if we cross that line, the Spirit will convict us again, hoping that we will repent and turn back to God and begin again with Him. All of that can happen through the process of prayer, and we should try to stay connected to God throughout the day, even when we're not able to fully dedicate our moments to literally praying. We should try to stay in connection with the Spirit to sense God's leading as we go through the day so that we have that encouragement that we need. We don't forget that God's in control. When something bad happens, is your first thought to panic? Is your first thought to call someone else or do this or do that? Or is your first thought to pray, to get connected to God right now and say, Lord, I know you're with me in this moment, and I can trust you and I don't have to fear. Then now decide how you're going to respond. As we do this, as we will grow in grace, and the Holy Spirit will have more and more of a personal connection to who we are. Now, this entire process from the earliest time that we're first convicted about God and wondering about who God is, all the way up until the very latest step that we have taken in growing in grace, we call this process sanctification. So let's just say that word together, sanctification, right? That's the process literally of being made holy. That's literally what it means. Sancta refers to holy, and vacation refers to being made. And so sanctification is the process of being made holy. And so God is working in our lives all the time to take us in that direction. And we should be looking for that, responding to that. And the Holy Spirit is a very big part of that process. Now, we also think there's a couple points along the way where we really have to commit. We really have to do our part to say, yes, that's what I want for my life. It has somewhat of a sanctifying effect, even on a hardened pagan who's trying to avoid God in every possible way, or a person who knows the truth and is running from God. Anyone in that state who becomes convicted and aware and begins to think about God and begins to think about other options, that's movement, right? That's from point A to point B, and that's wonderful, and that's a good first step. Sometimes we're too hard. We stand off to the side, and we judge, and we say, I don't think that person's got it right yet. But God sees where in their mind and in their heart They're taking steps of being more open to what God would say. Think about it this way. It doesn't matter quite as much where you are on the map as it does what direction you're headed in, right? Some people know all about God and have walked very close to God, but are currently running as fast as they can in the opposite direction. This is not good, right? And it's not in your favor. Others may have never even heard about God, but are seeking and wondering and desiring to know, acting on everything they know and considering what it would take to get closer. That person's headed toward God. That person's in a good place in God's eyes. So we should be careful how we judge, and we should look deep within our own hearts, right? And take each step as the Holy Spirit leads us to growth in grace. But I love the way that Jesus uses the image of his relationship with the Father, how they are one, and how the Holy Spirit is involved in sharing that with us. And in other places, he prays that we would be one, and that he would be in us, and we would be with each other and in God. And it's just, you know, it's a wonderful circular, almost poetry there. Because that's the beauty of God being Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is in community. God is expressing holy love at every moment. And as we're in fellowship through the Holy Spirit with God, we are living in union and communion with God. Amen? So communion isn't just a meal that we share together. The meal of communion that we share is an outward expression of what we hope is going on in our lives at every moment. And it's as we're spending time with God and living in connection with God and with God's people, that's how we become more like God. Amen? And it's just a beautiful thing until it's not just a set of ideas for us anymore. It's not just religious information that we could debate with someone else. It becomes a family that we're part of. It becomes a friend that's closer than a brother. Amen? To where we love God and we are so aware that God loves us that it changes our whole outlook in the world. That's a lot to grow up into, and we can't take it in all at once. And that's why Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead you into all truth. So it's a beautiful thing that we get to be a part of the loving relationship that makes up who God is. And so this morning, you can trust it. But are you tapping into it? Are you aware of the Spirit of truth? Are you staying connected and allowing him to lead you into the truth? Would you bow your heads? Father, again, you've been so good. What can we even say? And you have so much love to pour into our lives and so much insight to help us to gain wisdom and find our way. And as we trust you and walk daily, moment by moment, Lord, we see miracles happen. And we learn how to grow in grace. And sometimes we stumble. And sometimes we take a step backwards. And yet, in your love and your grace and in the ministry of the Holy Spirit, you draw us back in, Lord. And you keep us moving forward, you bandage us up if necessary. You teach us what we need to know better, and you help us to move forward in you. And in all of that, we get to know you, Lord, not just know about you. We get to feel your love, feel your truth, and feel your transforming power. I pray that that's what we're feeling from you in this moment, this morning, Lord. If anyone's here and they have to say, if I'm honest, I haven't necessarily been dialed in to the leadings of the Spirit of truth, and it's time for me to get reconnected and to stay connected and to keep growing and learning all that God has for me. If that's you this morning, with no one looking around, would you just raise your hand? Everyone with their eyes closed. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone this morning that says, Lord, I'm just especially grateful for how you're present, for how you're working in my life, and I'm leaning on you in a special way right now, and I'm experiencing that ability to hang in there as the Spirit of Truth reveals things to me and gives me the strength that I need. Would you also just kind of testify by raising your hand this morning? Thank you. Thank you. And Father, for the rest of us here, I pray that we are pressing in to know you. I pray that we're not missing out on the rich, abundant blessings that you have for us, and that you're becoming for us someone that we know and love. And although there's so much we still don't understand about who you are, Lord, thank you for making clear what we need to know. And thank you that the bottom line is how much you love us in Jesus as our Heavenly Father and through the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We give thanks to you for this. And I pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just fall on these people in a special and powerful way. Carry them through this week, Lord. And lead them into your truth. Let them be shining examples of people who show others your love and people who try to live the way that you want them to live. Father, remind us that we're not perfect, not one of us. And so one of the greatest ways that we can demonstrate that your love is in us is simply by being willing to say we're sorry. And so give us soft and tender hearts toward others, and let your love be seen in us. Bless our families, Lord. Some of them are missing someone at the table this year, and there's an empty place in our lives. Through the ministry of the Holy Spirit, Lord, would you comfort us and be our Father and fill that emptiness in our lives. And for some of us, Lord, this is just a painful day in general. Again, bring healing and bring truth and insight for us. And Father, but with those for whom this will be a special and wonderful day, I pray that your presence will be what makes it more than it would be. And just help us again, as your people, to reflect your love in our families and in your world. And it's in Jesus' powerful name that we pray. And everyone said, amen. All right, let's stand together. And dads, before you go, Joy has something special to give you on the way out. So be sure to thank her for that and see her. But go now in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray that God will fill you with his holy love and lead you into all truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.